All right, partner, you know what time it is.
Aloha, Mud Babies, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. You know who it is. It's your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. We got a great podcast today for you. Kenny Wilson has stayed and done another with me, and we talk about a little bit about our James Otto interview and a lot about life. There's some really good stuff here today about chick thoughts, chick ideas, the differences between men and women. Ooh, that's deep. No one's ever talked about that before, but we do it in a whole different light. It's a fun way to do it. So stay tuned, because Miss Thang joins us in the end with All Thangs Considered. It's a great podcast today. Stick around. Oh, and make sure you support our sponsors, Pop Chips and Perky Jerky. Find them at popchips.com and perkyjerky.com. Now let's get on with the show. Check, check.
Check, check.
Check, check. Yo, you're a little louder from
check,
last time.
Check, check. Oh, I'm screaming now. Too much coffee.
That's what it is.
It's check,
coffee. Check, check, check. Oh, my God. How much coffee have I had?
I need a Valium.
Do you have those?
No.
You're a Xanax guy, right?
I'm gonna try to find some sort of mental issue before we go to Hawaii so I can have one for the plane.
Don't you have a friend who's a doctor? Don't you have a Dr. Feelgood?
Oh, Dr. Feelgood, no. No.
I thought you were dating a doctor.
Oh, yeah. No, 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 no. She's studying to be doctor's assistant, feel good.
Well, doctor's assistants have doctors that are friends.
Yes.
Because they're usually an assistant to a doctor.
Exactly. As long as you can write scripts, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine, Charlie Marco, he's a comic writer in L.A., called me the other day and was saying that, and I hope I'm not talking out of school if this gets out, but he was like,
right.
Have you ever had a Xanax?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have. Oh, my God. Then you know. Then you know. He was like, you know. This is the greatest thing ever. Because my doctor gave it to me, and I didn't want to take it, and I didn't for several days.
Right. And just looking at it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And he goes, I did it. And I go, can I get another one of those?
Yeah. He's probably saying, everybody should take these. Everybody on the planet needs to take
one of these.
Talk about world peace. This would be it.
That's it right here. Yeah. Forget war.
Yeah.
Just fly over the battlefield. Drop Xanax.
Drop. Everybody's like, oh, it's all right. Oh, it's okay. They hate us and want to destroy us. Okay, okay. I'm fine. That's okay
yeah.
with me.
We carpet peeled the Iraqis.
We carpet peeled it, yes. And they fist themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were here with the interview we did with James.
That was an awesome interview. Amazing. He's a very, very intelligent, well-spoken man.
Yeah?
I think so.
That always seems weird that you, I mean, I do hear what you're saying, and I thought the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird to think that about somebody. You know what I mean? You go, he's very intelligent. He's very, you would hope that everybody assumes that about you and I ourselves,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
He was very well-spoken.
Very well-spoken.
For a country singer.
Exactly. No, he's very, very, his opinions are thought out without being opinionated. I mean, he's very strong in what he thinks,
mm-hmm.
but he's not forcing it down anybody's throat. And the way he communicates is it's a higher level of, you know, intellect than you would expect, like you said.
Right, you know? Right. And I think that's why he's such a good songwriter. Or a writer, I should say, not just song, just a writer, because
uh-huh.
it takes more than just
right.
writing a melody.
Exactly. Well, he's talking about that common experience and the way you can not only see it, write it down, but then translate it to people so they see it and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the common man thing. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You right after we got done talking to him, you were like, I like that notebook idea he had where you carry a notebook around and you just jot down thoughts and ideas.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
What hit you in that? What made you think, I should write this down. Is it, have you had a thought recently like you, oh, I should have.
Well, you're always conversing and talking to people and hearing somebody say something that's kind of funny or a catchphrase or thought-provoking.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the people that I hang out with or we hang out with and stuff, they're all pretty smart people. And every once in a while, something just comes out that you go, wow.
A gem tumbles out.
Yeah, just like, yeah, just a gem just right. falls out. And you're like, you can look at it and walk by, or you can take a picture of it right. to use for later.
Right. And I got one of those not long ago when I go down and hang out at the coffee shop at the mall at Nordstrom's E-Bar. And I heard this woman behind me go, well, I don't know, we're fighting about it. It was his idea for me to get the boobs.
Okay.
All right. That's a gem right there.
That's a gem.
That's to me, that's like, I gotta know the story, or I'll make up my own story to go with that.
Sometimes your stories are better that you make up. So I'm assuming he wanted them for her.
Uh-huh.
He may have wanted them for himself, but talked her into them.
Right.
And then now she's got them. Uh-huh. And people are paying attention to them.
And he doesn't like that.
And he's not happy about
that. Or whatever
that.
She's worn to accent them is like, ah, that's trampy. Don't wear that.
Yeah. Really? Really? Why don't you just put this gunny sack on, you know?
Put this burka on.
Yeah, put a burka on. I mean, it was a home improvement loan. It made the home much better. We're happier at home.
Oh, look at the front porch on that house.
Leave that at home. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that one time trying to make up my own story. I was at an airport. And there was a girl sleeping on the floor. You know, you can always tell, not just sleeping, but the passed out kind of sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been here all night, or we partied all night, and now I'm crashing. But she had a brand new tattoo on her ankle. It was, you know, that look. It's got the grease, the oil still on it. It's red around it. So it was a brand new tattoo, and she's passed, like, laying there. And I had to go, all right, what is the story behind that tattoo? Because it was a leprechaun, a poorly drawn leprechaun. It wasn't a leprechaun like the Fighting Irish or, you know, it was just a poorly drawn.
Like the Lucky Charms guy on crack?
Kind of like that, yeah. So in my head, I'm like, there's got to be a story. She was either at an Irish bar and they talked her into it, or she met some dude from Ireland that she thought was the coolest and they got attached. There's something Irish that got out of control in her life.
Right. Jameson. Too much Jameson.
That perfect. Yeah.
You know, that's like people watching to the next level. I like to watch people and I like to, you know, just watch them. But then every once in a while, you want to make up a story for some of them. And if you're hanging out, like you and I could be hanging out, and we could make up great stories for people that probably aren't real at all, but they're fun.
Yeah. My son and I do this thing sometime where we do this thing called, well, and then what happened was.
Okay.
And then what happened was, because like we were fishing one day walking around Georgetown Lake, and there was just a pair of underwear laying by the lake.
Okay, then.
And he goes, well, we got to the lake, and I was in such a hurry to go to the bathroom, I couldn't find a place, and I accidentally pooped in my pants. And then what happened was, I took them off and I threw them down right here.
Just threw them down right there.
And then as we were walking around, there was a broken fishing pole. So he's like, well, then what happened? See, I pooped in my pants.
Right.
And then I was so excited to get to the lake, I tripped and I broke my fishing pole. Yeah, and then so that's how we spend the day sometimes, adding on to each story.
Oh, that's good.
Like it was a pile of beer cans. So I go, well, see, what happened was we got drunk on beer and we shit in our britches, threw our underwear down,
and broke our
fishing pole. Yes. See, so each
and
one,
then
what happened
was. That's a good game.
Yeah.
That's a good game. I like that.
And then what happened was?
We walked to the other side. Okay, let's go see what happened then.
Over on that side.
You're like CSI detectives making the story up as you go.
Uh-huh. And then there'd be like a squirrel carcass, you know, like, well, then what happened
was? We were hungry.
We were hungry after drinking all that beer,
yeah.
And we'd already shit on ourselves, so we thought we can't be any sicker, so let's just eat this squirrel.
That's roasted squirrel time. Perfect. That's on the southern end of the lake, right?
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. I think you fed me too much coffee this morning, Steve. This is great.
Is it too much?
No, it's awesome. It's just the right amount.
It's good coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's Folgers. Let's do a little plug here. It's Folgers 50-50.
Okay.
See, because I drink so much coffee, I try to avoid all caffeine.
Okay.
So it's half decaf.
Half decaf. I thought it was like half dark roast, half medium roast.
That might be a good
all
one,
calf.
Too.
I'm thinking Kona coffee for some reason now.
Kona. Because you're looking at the ABC store catalog.
I love the ABC book. You can get everything. You can get underwear to replace the ones you lost at the lake.
The one you shit in your pants because you were drinking so much beer.
Uh-huh. You can get whiskey. You can get suntan lotion. You can get popcorn. You can get shirts and shorts. I mean, it's 7-Eleven on steroids.
Well, we are going to Hawaii together.
Yes.
Ken and his girlfriend and Miss Thang and I, we're all going to go together. And Ken is, like myself, is a fan of the ABC store.
I love the ABC store.
And,
love it.
Chris and Norb, our friends that run the general store up in St. Elmo, mm-hmm. we were talking to them over the weekend because they went to Honolulu for the first time. And they were like, the ABC store is amazing. It's like everything. It's like a Walmart in a shoebox.
Uh-huh.
How do they have all that stuff in that tiny little thing? Uh-huh. I go, yeah, because you walked in one day like, I need a camera card. It's up there.
It's behind the wine.
Uh-huh.
Next to the Lay's, right behind those tiki guys.
It's everything you want. They have it somehow, some way.
And my other favorite thing about the ABC store is you walk out of it, and across the street, directly across the street, is an ABC store.
Well, because you might have bought something, and as you're looking in your sack,
yes.
walking across this, like, oh, I forgot to get a, never mind, I'll get it here.
It's right there, across the street.
Well, it's a great way to give directions in Hawaii. You go down to the ABC store, make a right, go down two ABC stores, make a left. There'll be an ABC store on the corner. Don't stop there. Go on down to two more
ABC stores, take another left, and there's the Shorebird.
Right. That's how you... Uh-huh.
Perfect.
The Shorebird. That's where we're going to end up.
We are once or twice, I'm sure.
Now, for the people who have never been to Hawaii, the Shorebird is this bar that is one of the coolest bars in Honolulu. It's outdoors. It's indoors, outdoors. That's one of the things I like about Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
It's like a beer garage here where they just raise the doors and the wind blows through.
Right. Everything's like a lanai, I think is what they call
it.
You go to your hotel, you open up the door, the hallway is outside, but it's inside.
Inside. Yeah. What is this concept? It's outside, but it's inside.
I know. It's like it's inside, but we just took the two end walls off.
And you know why we do that? Because that is perfect weather
all the time.
It's just you're living in paradise.
It is. It's paradise. I'm sure right now it's 84 degrees in Honolulu.
Oh, you? Yeah, I saw you go. You're gonna
I'm like looking for my phone.
The,
yeah,
I do that too. Have you started watching on the live cam?
On the live cam, and I've got Denver weather, mm-hmm. and I slide the screen, and I have Honolulu weather.
So you're keeping track.
Yeah, I know, and I know it's 84, and I know it's going to cool off to like 81 by the time we get there.
Yeah,
it'll be winter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, the Howleys will be on the beach because it's warm, and the natives will be inside with their sweaters on because it's, for God's sake, it's 81.
You're right.
It's so freaking cold out here.
So if you have an iPhone, or you do have an iPhone too, the app called it's Live Cam for mm-hmm. people that will just give you an app. People an app plug. If you have iPhone, get one called Live Cam.
Right.
And you can just see cameras from all over the world.
All over the world. There's one at the top of the hotel in Waikiki. Mm-hmm. There's one I found that's like some apartment hallway in East Germany.
Really?
Yeah. And there's something in Hong Kong, you know, and there's something about a dock somewhere. It's just amazing. Just a live cam. And you showed me this. You can control the camera.
Cameras.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
you can take control of it.
And move it around and look at the corners of stuff.
Exactly.
And that's what you were talking about. It was such a great idea that I love, mm-hmm. is that you're going to go, when you're in Hawaii, stand on the spot that you know where the cam shoots from,
uh-huh.
wave at the cam, and look at yourself.
I'm going to take control and wave at the camera just because I can. Because
you can.
I can. Everybody else in the world will have to suffer through me doing that.
Right.
And hopefully you'll be with me. We'll be waving
yes. at the same time. Exactly. See, I think if anybody's out there and you have live cam and you're in Hawaii or you're going, that's the perfect idea. And then, because you can snap a shot of it. You
uh-huh.
know how you push the two buttons?
Exactly.
You snap a shot of you looking at yourself in a live cam in Hawaii.
And that'll be my new Facebook profile picture, the live cam shot.
Uh-huh.
It really is a cool app. It really is.
It's one of my favorites. I just lay there when I'm bored sometimes and just look through the live cams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people use it for dirty cams. Dirty cams.
Dirty cams, like the Shotgun Willie cam.
Right. Is there one of those?
No.
Oh, I didn't know. I was about to grab my phone and start looking.
Yes. Let me know when you find it. It's there. Keep looking.
Uh-huh.
Keep looking.
Well, you know, we'll get in trouble for that kind of stuff. Like, you just got, I think, slightly chastised by sending a girl in a bikini to your girlfriend.
It was the ABC store catalog.
That's all it was, the cover of the catalog.
And it said I made sure it said ABC store. And I'm like, yay, Hawaii. She's like, boo, bikini.
Oh. And then you go like, that's all you saw? See, really? Miss Thing did the same thing to me last night. Because the catalog arrived. I came home in the mail. I'm like, oh, I got the catalog. Take my picture. She goes, really? Because she was cooking. I go, yeah, take my picture. Okay. Takes the picture. And I go, all right, take one more. And I opened it up so I could show like the ukuleles and the candles.
Right.
Like, so I show it's a catalog. So she took two pictures. Well, I posted the one of the cover of the ABC, and it's saying ABC. So you would know what it was.
Exactly.
First thing at her, of course, you posted the one with the girl in the girl in the bikini.
Of course I did.
Of course, but it's the cover of the catalog.
Exactly. The inside doesn't say ABC store catalog on it.
Right.
The front does.
So I posted both, but the first one, you know, but this is the chick thinking. This is where we had a discussion the other night, and well, this is perfect for us to talk about. She has chick questions. They are follow-up questions. Like if I would say to you, say, hey, I ran into Ken today.
Right.
Was he on his motorcycle? I don't know. I didn't ask him. You know, I mean, I know that you are. But say, you know, I just ran into you at the mall.
Right. So it's just the follow-up to, okay, was he on the motorcycle? Yes. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Why does that matter?
You didn't ask him? Did he sell it? I don't know. I don't know what I mean? There's these weird...
Did he have a helmet? Was he have safety glasses? Did he sell the bike? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They're inquisitive. They want to know more than...
Are they playing at Toby's this week?
Yeah.
I don't know. What did y'all talk about? I don't know. I ran into him. I said hi. I was outside the Urban Outfitters store, and that's it. Oh. What was he shopping for? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So that's what we've come up with, this whole thing of if there's chick questions. I'm sure it's the same thing with you. You don't think of everything to ask, but they go for like detail.
Exactly. Well, they're minded like that. They want to know the intricacies of what's going on, and I'm like, it's daytime. I'm good with that.
Right.
I saw Steve yesterday.
Right.
What was he doing? You missed the point. Yesterday. Yeah.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe, and we just don't think the same way, you know. It's what I'm gathering here.
Yeah, but this helps prove the point when people always go, you know, we're exactly the same. People are all the same. There's no difference between men and women.
Yeah, right.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally is, but nobody ever wants to hear that or believe it or talk about it.
Nobody wants to be cut off, you know. We're all the same. Yeah, okay, fine. Just we're good. We're the same. Just
yeah, but it's that kind of thinking is wrong and puts America in a wrong spot. You know what I mean?
It does. We're not the same. We're total individuals that believe in the same principles, but we're not the same.
No, there's tall people. There's short people. There's fat people. There's skinny people.
Right.
There's people that like NASCAR. There's people that don't.
Right.
We're not all the same.
Exactly.
Your female brain is wired different than mine.
It's true, and they think differently. And that's why I think we were talking to James last hour to find the common experience that we all share. Despite all our differences, we find that common thread that we share, and that's something to hang on to. But that doesn't mean we're all the same. We all have the same tendencies.
Uh-huh.
We may all share a same experience, loss of a loved one, you know, somebody ripping your heart out. Okay, but doesn't mean we're the same. You know, I got mine ripped out one way, you got yours ripped out another way, you know.
But it was ripped out somehow,
Way. But it's not the same.
Right.
You know.
So how do you think we could, is there a way to, because James was talking about this too, of like how the country's become we've so divided now. I mean, we are not a united country anymore.
Right.
How would you say we could actually reel it in? What's it going to take to reel it in? Because I remember, you know, I don't want to say, I remember back when I was a kid, I don't want to sound like my fucking dad or anything, but, you know, there was a united thinking, you know, the neighborhood does this, you're allowed to discipline your kids this way, you know, most of us go to church on Sundays, and then we go have chicken out, you know, there was a standardized kind of,
right.
You know, stores are closed on Sundays because you need to spend time with your family.
Right, you can't buy alcohol, you know, that kind of thing, and... You know, that's kind of a mob mentality, but it's not a mob in a bad way. It's just a society.
It was
a civil thinking. Yes, it's the way we thought. And we may be past the tipping point now where we didn't even realize we're getting pushed to that. But we need to find a way, those of us, whatever, they can see the big picture, need to find a way to bring everybody in. And so for me, it would be somebody oh, I mean, we're having an election cycle, and there's so many posts about just such diverse things. The one candidate is so anti this,
right?
The other candidate is so horrible for this. We need to find a way to stop that. And I need to reach out to somebody whose opinion I don't agree with and say, let's talk about it. Let's find a middle ground, because as long as we're divided, they're winning, and the special interests, the lobbyists, all their wants and needs are what's being handled. But when we join back together as a people and say, we're the people, we the people give you consent to govern us, but we also are taking that back because you're not doing it correctly, and you're trying to split us up and make us factions. You know, James said, divide and conquer.
Right.
You know, divide and conquer. I think the government was split into three separate factions so that they could always be checking on each other. And as long as it takes a while for that to happen, it's hard for them to move fast, which is good. We don't need them moving fast.
Right. But now they just like pass the bill and you can find out what's in it after you sign it. After you sign it, we'll find out what's in the healthcare bill.
Or a presidential edict that says, I don't have time to wait for Congress to do their job. I'm just going to do this. Okay, that wasn't the intention. Although it may have been set up as an extreme circumstance, it's not the intention. The intention is take your time, think about it, read the bill before you pass
discuss it. Discuss it with all three branches. We'll work on this.
And the two houses have two sides, and they can think about it for a while, then pass it to the next house who has two sides who can think about it. And then we, the people, can vote on it and pass it.
And then the judicial system can look at it.
If there's something wrong with it, they'll make a decision and go, no, you guys, not quite right. Let's do this again. Let's start again. That's okay. As long as we're working towards a goal, we can't fast track everything and ram stuff down people's throats.
Like judges making laws now.
Right. Right. We can't really do that. I thought the Supreme Court decision on the healthcare was awesome because although I didn't agree with it, he opened it back up and said, okay, the way it's written here is such a way that y'all need to go back and think about it. Rethink this and bring it back later. And they said, well, what about the one person that may? And they said, there is no one person yet, and we're not gonna make a decision on a hypothetical. That's not what we do. We make decisions based on real life circumstances.
On fact
and real life circumstances. So when that one person does get mistreated, then we'll talk about it. But we're not going to pontificate on this right now. What I am saying, or what they were saying in their decision, was rethink this and try again. You know, this part's good, this part's not. Rethink that.
Go use your girl thinking.
Yes.
Work out all the details in your head.
Talk to the girls. They've got other questions besides what you have. Allow them to be part of this conversation. We'll get farther ahead. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. So do you think that they divided on purpose, or was it slowly over time that we let the division happen? Do you think it was a concerted effort to come in and divide, or do you think over years have we chipped away and finally we're like, wow, we're really far apart?
Right. I think that it was an intentional division, but just like everything else that happens in our society, it has to happen through generations. So you're not going to change it overnight, but if you start chipping away at this little thing, 20 years from now, it'll be a whole set of circumstances. You won't even know that we whittled it away for you.
Right.
Because all you're worried about is your next what's on TV tomorrow, and you're not seeing the big picture. You're only
worried about the Broncos game.
That's right, Broncos, that's
it. You're not really worried about what's happening in Washington. You just give a shit that you don't have the new Peyton Manning jersey yet.
And as long as they don't do something that upsets us, and it's like, what? You mean...
What do you mean I can't buy beer on Sunday?
Exactly. Then we're fine with that. But eventually... You know, if they just keep chipping away at it, and pretty soon it's the norm, and these kids today don't realize. I remember back, and you probably do too, back in Carter's administration, they tried to have everybody recycle, everybody conserve as an ecological movement that didn't go very far.
Right,
at
I remember
all.
Ecology.
It just stopped.
They had that little symbol for ecology.
It just stopped, yet it didn't really stop. It was just brought to our attention, then put aside. And then they began to work on the next generation. And that generation is the one now that is really intent on the green the green life.
Get rid of plastic bags.
Right. And it's a great life. It's a good thing for the planet, but it didn't happen overnight. It took us to raise a whole generation to go, no, we're not going to put up with this. Before, it's just easier to throw the aluminum in with the plastic and don't bother me. But these, the younger generation, after being raised that way, they're like, oh no, we're totally separating this. And it took a while to get there, but we're there. And it's a good thing.
All right. Now, let me ask you, this is going to be one of those weird...
A girl question?
No, not a... Okay. Well, maybe a girl question in a way, but... Because we always talk about, you hear people talk about the division, and there's no God, and you know, this whole thing of, do you see, could it be no God, or is the devil stronger now than it used to be? Do you see the point?
That I see what you're saying.
Are they right by saying no God, or are the ones that believe saying, no, the devil is stronger?
Right. Well, in the Judeo-Christian belief, you know, the antithesis of each other. It's a power struggle. Yet it says that the world, the physical world, belongs to the devil, always has, always will. That's their biblical, that's the belief. So even in this world, you have to, you know, adhere to the policies or the thoughts or the looking towards God, even though this is the devil's world. So if you don't, he owns this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... It's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it's, if you, you know, the Bible says one thing and it's the way it's supposed to be. I get that. The thing that that I've been thinking about recently is the Democrats, for instance. They had that big argument last week about they took God and Israel out of their platform.
Oh, and then they tried to shove it back
and then
in.
And then they tried to shove it down somebody's throat. They wanted it to go away,
right,
but realized it wasn't popular, so tried to shove it down their throats. Yet when they did the verbal vote...
Did you hear? I heard
it was
that.
So popular, they don't want it in there, but they'd already made the decision, we're shoving this down your
they
throat.
They did it three times.
I know.
Did we realize the biblical... the aspect of three times? The number three is in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
You will reject me...
Three times. Yeah, exactly. Now, I think, this is a hypothesis or a opinion of my own, but I think that our Constitution, our country, despite what our current president says, we're founded on a Judeo-Christian belief or belief in God, but our freedom of religion to believe in Christ or a Judeo-Christian or Muslim or whatever, you're free to believe, but we believe in a higher power.
There is
a higher power. And our freedoms in the Constitution are all based on, we all agree there's a higher power, and these rights come from that higher power.
These are the God-given rights.
Now, if we take God out of the equation, there are no higher power. There is no rights we have. So the
there
freedom
is no
of
right
speech,
or wrong.
Freedom to protect ourselves, all that stuff is gone. Because it's not based anymore on our belief in a higher power.
Right. Well, that's one of the things I never could figure out, why people get so upset about the Ten Commandments being displayed somewhere.
Right.
Because if you really just look at it, it's just 10 good rules to live by.
Uh-huh.
It's not really a prayer or anything.
Nope.
It's like, thou shalt not murder.
Right.
Thou shalt honor thy father and mother.
All good things.
You know what I mean?
There's, all good things.
I can't see where somebody would see that and go, that is bullshit. I don't have to see this. I'll honor my parents.
Yeah. That's just my conscience talking to me because I'm not doing the right thing, and it bothers me to see it there.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing in there, so I've always been kind of weirded out by, who cares if there's the...
Right.
These are on display. I thought about actually writing a book and calling it 10 Ways to Make Your Life Better or something like that.
Right.
Just 10, you know...
10 ideas to make your life better. 10 rules to live by.
And never mention that it's the 10 commandments. And I bet you it would probably sell as one of those self-help kind of empowerment kind of...
Right, self-help books.
Yeah, because if you look at it, you're like, that's a good rule. You know,
it was kind of common sense. You really shouldn't kill your mom or dad.
Right.
You know.
Oh, maybe you shouldn't sleep with your neighbor.
Yeah, maybe. You should, you know. Well, probably. You really should. Not maybe, but you should.
That'd be bad because you live next door and it could be tension. And then, you know, what if they found out and you still have to live next door?
There goes the neighborhood.
You're going to have to either sell or move, or they're going to, or you're going to try to kill each other.
Right.
And then you got the Hatfields and McCoys just because
And then there's the other one that says you shouldn't kill each other.
Uh-huh.
And then so now your conscience is just eating you alive.
Right. So I'm trying to help you out here by giving you this simple rule.
Yeah.
to live by.
Here's an idea.
This is great for the neighborhood. See, none of that is mentioned in the rule, but see how it works out in common sense?
It does. It just makes life easier if we would allow it to. But, you know, it's that don't tell me what to do. It's that philosophy. Don't tell me what to do.
I'll sleep with a neighbor and kill him if I want to.
Yes, I will.
Whose morals should I have to live by? My code says it's okay to...
Exactly, because I can take their house and they got a hot, like that four-wheel drive thing they got. I could have that.
I could have that. I could just steal it and drive it.
Exactly.
And then I should be able to say, well, I'm so poor that I've never owned one of those, and I just took it for a joyride. Why should I be punished for just...
Yeah, I'm just trying to experience the better life.
That you have. The shared prosperity.
Exactly.
That's also driving me crazy.
It is
shared prosperity.
I know. It's kind of driving me crazy, too. Work for it. I'm okay with that. I was told a story, and I'm sure everybody's heard it. I told a story yesterday about the families that, the one family is trying to teach their daughter about the shared prosperity thing. And so the family next door says, hey, I'll tell you what, there's a guy on the corner, got no food, got no nothing. Why don't you, little girl, come to my house and you can do my dishes. I'll let you clean the house and I'll give you $50 and we'll take it down and you can give it to that guy to get all the stuff he needs. The little girl's like 9 and goes, why don't you just have that guy work for you and he can earn it himself? And they go, congratulations, you're a Republican.
Yeah!
And the families haven't talked since.
Why don't you just
have him do it? You know, that's okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing a cartoon that stuck with me years ago when I was in that kind of young attitude of, well, everybody needs a chance. Everybody needs
Agreed.
Right, and everybody does need a chance.
When you're young, you need to believe like that. You need to strive for...
Have dreams and aspirations. Uh-huh. But the cartoon, I remember seeing this, was an editorial cartoon of like a beautiful house on a hill. And then there was like a shanty, a shack, when the people were all like dirty and raggedy clothes.
Uh-huh.
And there was a rope between the two of them. And the caption up top by the pretty house said... climb, and the other caption on the bottom said pull.
Very good.
So
pull me up, right?
And the other's like, here, I've thrown you a rope,
climb
out,
right?
So you can see both sides, but which one's right and which one's wrong? I think climb
makes you feel better.
Yeah,
the guy on the corner would feel better if he had something to do, could contribute and get some money from it,
get some self-esteem,
exactly.
Self-worth.
Exactly. I was reading an article in my neighborhood paper. I'm sorry, medical disability, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there were like 88,000 jobs in this area created, but 89,000 people went on disability. Permanent lifetime disability.
Right.
It's at the tipping point where 4 or 5 years, there's going to be no money left to pay for all the people on disability. And there's so many people just going for it. And a lot of people are saying, you know, bipolar or depression or
can't
something.
Can't do this. I strained my back and I can't do the warehouse work I used to do.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's a certain percentage of that. But with the workplace being safer than it was 50 years ago and people working less than they did 50 years ago, I mean, not less, but less strenuous.
Uh-huh.
The workplace injuries should be going down. So workplace disability claims should be going down.
But they're not.
Not up. They're going up. And there's more people went on disability than found jobs.
Because they're working the system?
Well, yeah. And there's lawyers and firms out there that go, we'll do it for you. We don't have to worry about it. And you can pay us when you start to get your check. We'll just work on it.
Because we know the paperwork. We know how to do this.
We got it.
Sit back. We'll take care of this.
Exactly. And we'll get you a medical marijuana card while you're waiting. You know, and and they created a business off of this, and it can only go for so long. And the problem is there's so many people out there that actually need this, that really can't work anymore, mm-hmm. that they're going to take a hit too.
Right. There's only so much juice you could squeeze out of an orange.
Exactly. And some of these people really need it. Some of these people are just, our entitlement society's got to where it's accepted, it's okay. But at some point, nobody's going to be able to pay for this.
Right. You probably saw my Facebook post yesterday where I posted shared prosperity.
Right.
Really? Does this mean I'm supposed to give my money to lazy people?
Right.
And then all these people are like, I'm not lazy. I'm not lazy. I hurt my ankle at work, all right?
Right.
I wasn't talking to you.
Right, exactly.
And that's part of the problem that people have to deal with is I'm not talking to you. Just right. Be honest. The politician go, I'm not talking to you.
Right. Is that our conscience again talking to us? You know, somebody, and I don't know, and I'm not
picking well, I'm not either,
somebody
but I,
out, whoever hurt their ankle or something. We have insurance. You hurt your ankle. You're disabled temporarily. You got insurance cover you. We'll get some Aflac in there, take care of you. 4 or 5 weeks, you'll be back out and you'll be back to work. That's what that's about.
Right.
Oh, I hurt my ankle. I can never work again as long as I live.
Because that's what the lawyer told me.
That's who I'm talking to.
Right.
That's who we're talking
right.
to.
Right. And it's so weird, but it's so, not weird. I don't even know what the word out here I'm looking for is the that they do that. They immediately jump on, are you're slamming me.
Right.
No, I'm not. I'm slamming the lazy people.
Right.
And if you put yourself in that category, that's your fucking problem.
Right. And just because you're on a temporary disability or something doesn't mean you're lazy. If you're trying to find a way to create a permanent situation for yourself because you don't want to work when you know you can, then you're lazy.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody. And that's probably a small percentage of the people. So many people out there aren't lazy. They want to help. They want to feed their family. You know, but then there's that, just like everything else, there's that small percentage that makes everybody else look like crap.
Right.
Or we can lump them all into that.
Yeah. But have you ever noticed how, like, a gene pool gets very bad in one little area? Have you ever like talked to somebody that's like, well, my husband had throat cancer and then he threw out his back at work and I can't work because I have hip dysplasia and
right.
my kid has ADD and is suffering from emphysema. You ever, mm-hmm. You're like, what happened to your fucking family?
Yeah.
You
what? Know, wow.
Every like.
Do you live under power lines?
Yeah.
Or what?
Do you ever talk to somebody like that? You're like, what the fuck happened to this?
Oh, it's yes. It's yeah. like you feel so bad for him. It's like, wow, what the heck? What's going to happen next? I'm going to step back a couple feet.
Right.
While we talk because
you're giving off germs or vibes or something.
An anvil or an Acme Safe
just
could fall out of the sky
nowhere.
On you.
An airplane engine is just yes. going to. Yeah.
yeah.
So I always wonder, just did they find each other like that? Or is just. It's one of those deals where you always hear that, you know, God made somebody for everybody.
Right.
So,
right.
like, you totally fucked up dysfunctional people
yeah.
deserve each other.
And here we're going to create an incredibly codependent relationship
Ship.
For you. For
right.
You.
Since you can't walk, I'll give you somebody to push you in a wheelchair.
Exactly. But he can't talk.
But he can't talk, so you talk in the wheelchair for the person pushing you. Perfect. We got you a couple.
Perfect.
Next.
Next, yeah. Wow.
But you...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's what you could... That's a whole new business. No one's even thought about yet. Fucked up dating service. You
yeah,
know?
It's like an online dating thing.
Right,
okay,
right.
So you don't have any legs. Let's find you somebody that loves to run.
Loves to run.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or,
they have a strong back, and they can put you in one of those baby Bjorns and just carry you around.
You're probably going to lose viewers today. I'm sorry, listeners.
Oh, that's because the devil is stronger than it used
oh,
to be.
Oh, man, I know. I think, you know, magic back in the 1100s or 900s, magic was huge. I think because people believed in it. I mean, the
power of magic.
The
like
power
like
of magic.
Merlin.
Yes, yes, because people's thought process and people's energy, and I believe in, you know, metaphysical
uh-huh.
energy like that, people's energy made that happen just because... There was so much there, but the smarter we got, the more we realized, and the energy dissipates, and the intelligence level goes up. So now you know, pulling a handkerchief out of your sleeve isn't really magic anymore.
Right, but there is the magic powers that are the brain has. Like, I do believe in the power of positive prayer. Like, you know, if the whole country thinks this at one time,
uh-huh.
something will change.
Right. How often does someone say, start a prayer chain or say, you're in my thoughts, you know, I'm sorry you had that car accident or whatever, you're in my thoughts, and you get so many people doing that, and it does. I think that it creates positive energy in a way, and then again, back to our freedom of religion or freedom of belief, it could be karma, it could be reaping what you sow, it could be something, and I don't know about Hinduism, but it could be just positive forces, and it doesn't matter what you call it, they're there.
Right.
And they exist. And you can work to better someone's life, or you can work to ruin your own life.
Oh, you're one of those freaks that believe that kind of stuff, huh? Yeah. Are you one of those guys? Why can't you live in the real world? You know, the real world is tough. It's hard.
It is hard.
You know, you're one of those crystal people that believe crystals have powers.
No, I believe the human spirit has power. Crystals are pretty rocks, though. They're pretty rocks.
You're not one of the crystal people?
I'm not a crystal person, no. No, not really.
You don't believe that you can touch the crystal and feel the share the power? And this, I've empowered this crystal, and I'm passing it on to you?
Only because I've held crystals before and never felt anything.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah.
I've had crystals that are supposed to have been charged for me.
Right.
Like, you know, I've done the chant and the prayer over this, uh-huh. and this crystal is
it's
for you.
It's just going to burn your hand.
You will feel the power.
Like, yeah. No. It's not to say I haven't touched a crystal or picked one up or talked to somebody about it. I want to know as much as I can about anything anybody believes in. Everything that makes people's world go around, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to talk about it.
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Uh-huh.
If this has lasted this long, this belief that a crystal has power,
uh-huh.
probably does, somehow, some way.
Somewhere.
If the Indians believed it in the earth and they touched it and they could feel, mm-hmm. there's probably...
Yes.
Some connection.
The soothing aroma of incense or oils during massage. There's something
there. It may not work for you,
right.
but it probably does for somebody else. So why are you going, that don't work.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
just,
work.
That's just ignorant. I'm saying it doesn't work for me, you know. I do like a good massage with the aroma mm-hmm. and stuff. And I don't know whether it's the massage that relaxes you or the smell.
Well, I'm having one today.
Oh, good.
At 4 o'clock.
Oh, good.
So where did you run? At 4 o'clock, I'm doing a hot stone massage.
Okay. Have you had one?
Yes. Have you done it yet?
No, I haven't.
I have never done it before until last week. I went and had one done, and the best massage I've ever had in my life.
Really?
They use the hot stones and the corner of the stones to push, you know, between muscles and the edges and to get up under your shoulder blade, and they can do more pressure because they're, you know, the harder surface.
Right. Well, and the heat.
And the heat
relaxes
works.
Your muscles. Yeah.
And before I'd been like, hot stones. What the fuck can that do? You know, it's a picture. Ooh, look, they put hot stones on your back. And it just charge you extra.
Charge you more for the hot rocks.
It works.
Good.
So I'm going back for the second time. So I think people, if you're afraid to try something,
uh-huh.
you just believe it must not work.
Oh, yeah, and that's just an ignorant thing. I mean, chiropractors straighten people out, help their nerves. It works. I mean, hot stone massage, acupuncture. This stuff's been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried it. There's people that swear by it. How can it not affect your nerves or somebody that really knows what they're doing? You know, it's got to be helpful in some way.
Well, I had a chiropractor explain it to me, and it makes total sense when you think about it. He goes, the nervous system is an electrical system,
mm-hmm.
Just like in your house. You are wired. Your nerves are wired. You're mm-hmm. completely wired. And if you flip a switch on one side of the room and the light goes off on the other,
right?
That's because you broke the circuit.
Right.
That's what you do with acupuncture.
You break the circuit or create new ones?
Both.
Okay.
It's that you might put it in and you feel it go across your body. You put it in a certain spot and it cuts off the pain to another spot.
That's really good analogy.
It's the wiring of your body that you have to know the exact point of what you need what you need to do.
And somebody that knows that is probably the most essential part of that. Otherwise, you're just poking people with needles, right?
Right. So you have to know But then you got to... All right, let's think of this. Who 2,000 years ago said, I wonder if I put a needle in your big toe, if your eye will quit hurting?
Yeah. Yeah.
You
wonder
know
how many other places they put the needle first. What if I put it there? Oh, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
They just keep sticking. How's your eye?
How's your eye?
Nope.
How about if I put it right in your eye?
No. How's your eye?
Yeah.
No, that didn't work.
No, that doesn't work. Big toe.
Okay.
That's the farthest thing from your mind.
Right.
How would you know that?
Yeah. How about if I stick a pin between your toes, does your headache quit?
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Yeah. Eastern medicine as opposed to Western.
One has got insurance behind it. The other mm-hmm. really doesn't.
And we're not here to cure you. We're just here to mask the pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or stop the symptom.
Well, buddy, you said that.
Uh-oh.
I love this because I thought of this. A while back, when people always go to work sick, it used to drive me crazy at the radio station when people would come to work sick.
Uh-huh.
You are sick. Stay the fuck home.
Right. Why are you here?
Why are you here? You are sick. Well, I need to be here. No, you are sick. That is the body's way of telling you, lay down,
mm-hmm.
get better. You know
Rest.
How a dog goes and lays under the bed or a porch for a couple days
uh-huh.
and then comes out better?
Right.
You know why you cough? people cough to get shit out of your lungs.
Right.
That's a reaction to. So you take medicine not to cough.
Right.
No, so you can go to work.
That's bad.
That's bad.
You're keeping the stuff in there and bringing it for everybody else to enjoy also.
Right. Or you take one that's an expectorant that will make you cough more to get stuff out.
Right.
But you come to work.
Exactly.
I don't. This whole concept of you are sick.
Yes.
Don't people need to understand that? Employers need to understand that.
Right. Right. And everything's contagious in that aspect, and especially people that work in restaurants. You know, I don't really make enough, and I feel bad for them. I gotta work today to make rent. But you're sick.
You're sick.
Or the cook's back there sick.
Right.
You
he
know?
Might not be coughing on your food.
Right.
But he is sick. There,
right.
There has to be an element to a turned head cough.
There's got to be something. But you also, that person that is sick, you're like, man, I just wish you would just go home and get some rest.
Okay.
It's better for you.
Okay.
You can be sick for a day and go home and rest, or you can keep coming to work and be sick for 3 weeks.
So our job, or we need more sick time. That's what jobs should be more understanding.
They should be.
And pay you on a, like, you've got, you know, they have you now. You have 5 sick days.
Right.
Most colds last fall. You get a flu, you're sick for 2 weeks.
Right.
So jobs don't even let you have the course of your sickness.
Exactly. And, you know, and the other thing about that is, and I feel bad for mothers, especially single mothers, because when their children are sick, they have to be with them. So they're using their sick days to take care of their children, which they need to, but they need to be some sort of help or exception for them where they, you know, it's my child's
mother's,
sick.
Mother's days.
Yeah,
mother's
days. My child's sick or I'm actually sick. You know, and as long as nobody takes advantage of that, we need to help them out like that, especially single mothers.
Wow, you sound like you ought to be a politician.
Nah,
that sounds like a presidential thing that'd be more, viable than we need to create jobs.
Yeah, well, we kind of do. But, yeah, I can't be bought. See, I'm still one of those guys, so I wouldn't be a good candidate.
Yeah, I'm horrible because I always get on people on my Facebook all the time. That makes so much sense. You need to run for office. I could not. I would just piss people off.
Oh, yeah.
I know I have common sense or certain things that you think about, but you would never get them passed.
Oh, no.
You would never. Yeah, I could run on it, but once you get there, they're not going to let me do it.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, and I think when Obama was campaigning, and it's always this way, the incumbent never sounds as hopeful as the guy coming in. The guy coming in's got all these hopes and dreams.
I got ideas.
And he really does. And they're going to make America great. But then when you get there, you realize you're limited by Congress. You're limited by this. You're limited by that. You're limited by your special interest groups. And all these ideas you had, you're just like, oh, I can't do that. You probably could. You'd piss a lot of people off. You may end up getting, you know, taken out by some other part of the government that's really upset about your new idea to
Kennedy
create jobs or whatever, or you know, get out of the Cold War, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, the incumbent never he never has the great huge promises that the guy coming in has because they just understand it.
Well, you need one person to come in to care but not care. I am going in to fix things and change things,
right.
And I don't care.
Right.
If I'm reelected.
Yeah.
That's what you really need. Somebody that goes in and goes, I'm doing it, and then y'all can change it if you want to
right.
later on.
Right.
But I'm making the changes that I think really need to be made, and kiss my ass,
right.
I won't be running again.
Yeah, and you know what every one-term president wants most is a second term.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to go. And I think even Obama had said, if I can't make these changes, I'm a one-term president.
Oh, yeah, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I can't fix this.
And that's the exact spirit that you had just talked about. You know, you come in, you're going to be like, screw it, I'm going to make these changes. But again, I'm a constitutional independent, so the changes have to be in line with our Constitution or I'm not buying into it at all, no matter what side you're on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like major obvious changes. Like you come in and go, English will be the only thing spoken in this country. You can't have a job unless you speak English.
Right.
This will be, you know, like main things that we know should change for a better united country. That's what I'm talking about.
In the future, yes.
Right. That's why, not like changes like, you know, you can't buy beer on Sunday. You know, I'm talking about major, like, this is it. Corporations cannot take their businesses to another country.
Exactly.
You know, you cannot. I don't care what the profit margin is.
Right.
I know, I realize we are a, a democratic society, but we're doing what's best for this country.
And that's as we need to. We need to put every country needs to put itself first in order to have a healthy foundation to build on. I think, it's probably Ron Paul that was saying earlier, we need to focus more on America and not create this isolationist forever.
But that's what you get from people. Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah,
our country's better than anybody else.
Right. What I want to do is stop sending billions of dollars overseas to help their teachers. And I will as soon as we help our teachers. As soon as we create a public education or a voucher system that absolutely pays our teachers what they deserve and teaches our next generation what they need to know, as soon as we do that, then let's go ahead and help somebody else. But I don't want to help anybody else until we get it straight.
Right. That's what pissed me off and turned the corner on me, like hating Oprah, is when Oprah did that whole, she gave $50 million for a school in Africa.
Right.
We didn't need it?
Right.
This country didn't need better schools?
Exactly.
This country didn't need computers in every room? How are you helping them helping us?
Right.
Sure, you're saving human lives. Great. You feel good. What a great feel good.
They need the help too.
Right.
But we need to concentrate on us a little bit.
Right.
You know, we need to stop hunger in America before we stop hunger in Haiti. Or
right. Yeah, you give them a computer, what it was that? We're going to email them pictures of food now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What? I don't get that. I never could figure out that concept of
right.
like, just give them some food, you know, give help where it's needed,
uh-huh.
but don't be like, oh, look at this great charity that we are doing.
Right.
Your great charity would be seen and perceived better if you built a $50 million school in the Appalachians.
Right. Now, I do have to commend Oprah for what we're talking about here and the fact that she took her money and did that. Okay, there's always Americans that are willing to give and do that. So let the individual Americans that feel that way, let them help out where they want. But don't make it a federal funding. Don't make the government do it.
Yeah, we're giving another $50 billion to
yes.
help Egypt do such and such.
I realize it's only $12 and, you know, or $120 a piece. But no, that $120 for each of us should go to
that teacher.
That
was spending her own money for chalk.
Those teachers, yes, all of them, all of them. Well, the Chicago system. I'm reading yesterday they had their unions are putting them on strike because they want like a 14% or 15% pay raise. Well, if you look at it, the average income for a teacher in Chicago is like $57,000 to $64,000 a year. It's what they make now.
Yeah.
And they want a 14% increase. Well, I know there's teachers probably here in Colorado that make $20,000 or $28,000, and they teach because they love to. We need to get them up to the $50,000. We need to get them what they deserve to teach our children what they need to know.
Right. Good teachers need to be elevated.
Exactly. And they need to be graded on their ability to teach. And they need to be graded on, you know, not just because you've been a teacher for 10 years, you can do no wrong. If you're screwing with the children,
mm-hmm.
you could have been a teacher a million years. If you're screwing with the children and not doing what you need for them, it's time to go. You just have to go.
Yeah. And you can't, the schools need to quit looking at the, you failed 10 kids, so you must be a bad teacher.
Right.
No. How about you look at the kids? How about the kid just failed? You know what I mean? Because that's why teachers pass kids along,
right.
is because they're judged
right.
on that.
Uh-huh.
Well, and it shouldn't be. It's like, look at the kid. Did he try to learn? Did he pay attention? Did his parents help him?
Right.
You know?
Did he need some sort of extra help that you didn't recognize?
Yeah.
It's like doctors that won't do certain operations because they know it's going to fail and it'll ruin their record.
Yeah, right.
What? You need to do what's right for the patient or the child. And if the child needs to be in a special class because he can't learn, You need to not only
well then you're going to make them feel bad by putting him in a class like that. What are you going to do for that child's self esteem if you just don't make him feel like he's like everybody else?
We're going
to educate
him.
You should put that child in the middle of every group and bring the level down to his level.
That really doesn't work because now we're working off the lowest common denominator, not the highest. I think
welcome to America.
I know if we take that child and put him in a special place where he can be nurtured and cared for and he can be reassured that he's not crazy or not dumb and reassured that we're going to get you to where those other kids are, this is not a bad thing that's happening to you. It's a good thing. You don't get a ribbon just for showing up.
See,
you got to win.
I think here's the deal. Kids don't even know that much about it. You know, they just know they're in that class.
Right.
They got their friends. They go to school.
Right.
I think it's the parents that feel bad that they you know, are you judging me because my child is different? Do you look at me like I've done something wrong? Are you looking at, you know, they're the ones that actually don't want to be looked at or judged.
It's not about you, Mom, and it's not about you, Dad.
But they always try to put my kid, don't make my kid feel different.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think a kid, he goes to school, plays with his buddies.
Right.
You're the one that, you put him in a special class.
I think your kid was, your child, I'm sorry, was not doing well in this class, and now he's excelling, he's thriving, he's doing great. How that has to outweigh the...
Right, but I'm embarrassed to have to say that my child is in a different kind of classroom.
Well, don't say it then. It's none of nobody's business.
Ta-da!
Nobody's business but yours.
See how
nurture
easy
your
that
child
was?
And help him out. And don't go talking about it, you know? Whatever.
We just solved the world's problems
less
than an hour. There it was. In less than an hour.
We should be plumbers.
Well, thanks for doing another show with me, Ken.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you having me.
We'll do this again because it's fun. It's educational.
I like it, and we're probably making people mad, right? And
that's you think
what. So? No,
I like
don't.
James. Well, I better think about like James. No. I better think about what I said.
No, he.
Nah, never mind. I stand by it.
He stands by everything
stand
he said. You
it.
Can't make everybody happy all the time. You just can't.
Well, we try here on this.
We try on Remasculate.
That's
yes.
Right. See, got the name, Dad.
Awesome.
Got the name, Dad. Have you seen the new website?
No.
There's a new website. Chris Mahoney built it for me. It's
okay.
re-masculate.com.
Okay.
Re-masculate.
I will look at it.
And it's got all the kind of stuff, and it's got the shows posted, and we're working on it. We'll be able to shoot video in here.
Ooh.
So that you could click on live live video.
Can we build a backdrop that's like New York City or something?
See, I was thinking about that with the bamboo.
Oh, really?
See, I got that giant piece of... I was thinking about building a couple of fake walls with the bamboo and
perfect.
Make it look like a little tiki hut.
Exactly.
We're broadcasting from the tiki hut.
From the Remasculate from Hawaii.
Get music.
Got
some sound effects. this was great. All right. Thanks for stopping in. We'll do
thanks,
it again.
Steve.
Maybe very soon.
I'm at your disposal.
On the motorcycle. And he had a helmet, and
yes.
He was wearing goggles.
Exactly.
All the girl questions have now been answered.
Exactly. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
All righty. We are ready for...
News. I am news crazy girl.
You are.
I am.
Miss Thang and the misinformation.
No, what? No, we voted no.
We already
no.
went through that. No misinformation. Okay.
Miss Thang.
Miss Thang with all things considered.
Are you just getting bored of saying that?
No. I was just, I saw one day I was thinking about stuff and I saw somebody wrote the word misinformation and I went, misinformation? That could be Miss Thang because it's Miss.
No, I'm telling the facts.
I know. You're not really
misinforming. I could start, that would take a lot of creativity. Start
just
twisting
writing
the stories.
News. No, we'll just go with this.
All right.
Less
than 24 hours after a scissor-wielding stalker invaded her yard, Miley Cyrus may have committed a crime of her own. Miley's in trouble.
Again.
She got that crazy hair, so now she's going to act all crazy. TMZ is reporting that the 19-year-old actress and singer is accused in a police complaint of shoving a patron Saturday night at Beecher's Madhouse in Hollywood's Roosevelt Hotel. The encounter also allegedly involved Cyrus's fiance, Liam Hemsworth, which I'm glad to hear that they're still together. I was a little worried after her haircut incident.
You thought he might break up with her over the haircut?
He's a cutie.
Yeah.
She
can't have a jacked up haircut like that and have a cutie for long, though.
Right. Just like I couldn't wear that crazy hat.
Well, what's wrong with the hat? I liked the purple ganja hat the other day.
You made fun of me. But, of course, Cyrus's rep says that this claim is completely false, but according to TMZ, the alleged victim claimed in the report filed with the LAPD Sunday morning that he and his friends accidentally bumped into Hemsworth's chair, prompting verbal jabs. Then, says the Chevy, Hemsworth confronted him and Cyrus tried to break things up, only she did it by pushing him away and striking him in the face.
By accident or really, like, punch, you think?
I totally see her, like, little Miley trying to get in the... between these guys. I remember doing that when I was younger.
Trying to break up a fight?
Yeah. Oh, let's all just get along and love each other. And of course, the news emerges after 40-year-old Jason Luis Rivera was handcuffed by LAPD after he scaled a fence and banged on Cyrus's door early on Saturday. Rivera, charged with trespassing, told police he was Cyrus's husband. She's just surrounded
by
idiots.
Crazy people.
And then you see that cute little photo of her when she was like 12.
Is that when that was?
I don't know.
Her
exactly.
Hannah Montana days.
She was so cute.
Do you think parents have thrown out their Hannah Montana stuff by now? Like, yeah. I don't want you to play with this anymore.
I don't know that it's like that. I just think people are over it. Like, that was back then. Now, what's the new thing? Perry the Platypus?
What?
I learned that from my nephew, Perry the Platypus.
What is that from?
It's about this platypus. It's this cartoon.
Oh, it's an actual show?
Yeah.
Huh. Kids get screwed with TV.
They really do.
Good shows.
I miss Bugs Bunny.
What was that show, the movie that came out? The Ogle Loves or something.
Yeah.
That didn't do well at all.
Uh-uh.
That didn't help Hollywood's from the story the other day.
Uh-uh. No. Jessica Simpson, our favorite blonde bombshell from mm-hmm. back in the day.
The one that got chunky with the baby.
Yeah. Well, just 4 short months after giving birth to her first child, daughter Maxwell Drew, Jessica Simpson revealed her post-pregnancy body on the premiere episode of Katie Couric's new talk show.
Katie!
The singer tweeted the before and after pictures, which I will tweet okay. so that people can see. The 32-year-old mother admits she packed on 40 pounds, more baby weight than she was planning, of course, while indulging in favorites like chips, guacamole, and queso during her pregnancy.
She looked like she gained more than 40 pounds.
Yeah. My doctors told me my pregnancy weight was a lot of water, and when my water broke, all the weight did not come out with the baby.
Huh. Hmm. You would have thought with that kind of water weight, when it broke, that would have been like flooding in North Dakota.
She said she had to stay focused on her diet. She wants to be really healthy, so since she's a mom. In order to achieve that healthier lifestyle, Simpson had to make major dietary adjustments. The only fish I ever ate was a fish stick, she admitted. Now I'm trying to eat fish. Well, Jessica's new nutritional choices seem to be paying off. She's currently just 10 pounds away from her pre-baby weight.
And the pre-baby weight?
It doesn't give a number. Say. No, but you could see in this picture that I'm going to tweet. This, the one in the black and white is today, and the one...
Oh, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah,
if it's not photoshopped.
No, she was on the Katie Couric show.
I know, but I'm talking about in the photo.
Mm. Like the bigger one? Is photoshopped to be bigger?
No.
No, if you watch the Katie show, Jessica uh-huh. looks like that now. But notice she's in black.
Mm-hmm, because black makes you look thinner.
Yeah.
Except for Oprah. What?
So wrong. Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
I've always thought she was, you know, she should have done better. Remember her country album she put out a couple years ago?
I loved her country album.
I thought it was pretty good, too. I think she just got a bad rap.
Yeah.
Again with
not a body rap, though.
No, because she'd have lost weight quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 1 inch.
Every hour?
What is that?
Right?
What do they say at the tanning spa you go to? They have that, the wrap.
Yeah. If you wear, it's like... up to an inch.
Is that what it is?
Every hour, yeah. That's got to be healthy, don't you think?
If you need to fit into a dress by tomorrow, I guess it'd be all right.
Maybe, yeah. I never have that problem. Yeah. I hate that you laughed at that.
And I left exactly like you did.
I know. Moving on, stepping away from Hollywood, a 22-year-old Oregon man has sued his orthodontist for leaving his braces on for 11 years, resulting in straight but rotten teeth.
What?
Devin,
who does that?
I don't care.
Okay,
listen.
Listen, story.
Devin Boss of Portland claims he suffered serious tooth decay and periodontal disease from having worn braces from age 7 to 18 while he lived in Eugene, Oregon. 2 to 3 years is normal for braces.
Mm-hmm.
Some of Boast's teeth will need to be replaced with implants, but others cannot be because they have rotted to the jaw. The lawsuit states that Boast, whose mother is a medical doctor, received an urgent phone call in June 2008 from orthodontist Brad something or other's office that he needed to have the braces removed immediately. The paper writes, as for how Boast could spend most of his elementary school and all of middle school and high school years with braces, Hollander is still trying to sort the details out. So I don't understand, as a parent, you're observing this.
Right,
why?
And you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You're a doctor, right?
Yeah. Bose is seeking $185,000, $35,000 for dental bills, and $15,000 for pain and suffering.
I would be going for a little more pain and suffering. 11 years of braces has got to be a lot of pain and suffering.
I just don't. There's no details as to why. But, can you imagine?
I'm going to have to Google more about that story because I want to know what kind of excuses that the dentist would have for leaving braces on for 11 years. That's, because at one point you're going to go, excuse me, aren't they straight? Don't they look straight?
Right. And I'm sure there was some smell. It was decaying to the jaw.
And you didn't feel any pain? It already hadn't gotten to the nerves? There's some weirdness to this story.
It's Oregon. That's all I can say. There's no detail.
No, it would have made more sense if you'd gone, it's Missouri.
Texas.
Missouri.
Texas.
Missouri. Matter of fact, the other day I talked about you having to buy a bowling shirt just because it said Missouri on it.
So?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
If you ran across something that said Pearland, Texas.
I'd go, oh, look, that says Pearland, Texas on it. What do you want to do now?
I like where I'm from.
I know. I do like the bowling shirt, though. I do like the bowling shirt.
You got came with a little scarf you wore.
It's got a little scarf, a little matching scarf in the pocket. Oh.
It was cute. Hollister, Missouri. Whoop, whoop.
Where is Hollister, Missouri?
It was right across the street from where I went to college. It was
the whole town. The whole town is right across the street.
It's the town where I went tanning, and they had a really good pizza place. It was just right across Highway 65 from where my college was. It's just south of Branson, like 2 seconds south of Branson. They share a line.
Is it a real town, a city?
Yes, like Hollister, Missouri.
Yeah, but I mean by town, is it like...
Yeah, it has Hollister City Hall, police station.
Hold on! Is it a real town like Denver or Pearland or like Parker? Or is it just... It's got a post office.
It's a little bit big. I don't know. Here, let me Google.
No! You should know if it's right across the street.
I don't know how many people were in there. I just drove through it. And it was one of those places that had a hill that you had to like downshift or put your brake on every time, or you'd speed and the cops would get you.
Every time?
Yeah. Let's see. Population, 4,517.
All right.
Does it answer your question?
Yes, so it really wasn't much of a town.
No, but it was cute and it was part of my history. I drove through it every day and...
So here's a shout out to...
I went to Hollister, Missouri.
Woo!
I went tanning in the video store. They had tanning beds in the video
store. In the video store. And the video store happened to be inside the gas station, which even had the Kentucky Fried Chicken station in the gas station. So everything it was in the gas station was attached to the bowling alley where they had the shirt that you bought because you walked down the street and saw a shirt that said Missouri.
It was Paradise Lanes. Did you see that on the shirt?
No.
That was the name
Paradise
of it.
Paradise Lanes? Is that where the chicken place is?
No. But that Mr. Tattooed Man.
Uh-huh.
Permanent tattoos have become increasingly common in the United States, with 21% of adult Americans now sporting at least one. So that means 1 in 5 U.S. adults sport tattoos.
That is a lot.
This comes from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This bit of information appears in a CDC report on 22 cases of tattoo-associated non-tuberculosis mycobacterial skin infections over the past year. Go get another tattoo, baby.
Wow. I was going to, but now this is freaking me out a little.
The CDC says an investigation of the cases, which occurred in New York, Washington, Iowa, and Colorado, finds they were caused by contaminated ink. It says that this can stem from contaminated ingredients in manufacturing or by tattoo artists who dilute the ink with non-sterile water. The CDC, in perhaps a bow to the obvious, recommends using only sterile ink products and sterile water.
Really? You think so?
Appropriate hygienic practices.
Wow, who'd have thought that would have been the way to solve that?
Sounds like Missouri.
Oh, golly. The government said you ought to use sterile stuff so you don't get sick. Thank God we got the government.
Thank goodness.
Thank God they're there to tell us to use sterile stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how do you find out if your tattoo artist is using sterile stuff?
Is there a dipstick you put in the ink?
I know. Or is there to be like in California where they have the restaurant ratings in the window or something. Maybe they should have, you know, tattoo parlors need to be checked on a regular basis, sir.
Maybe, don't they?
I don't know.
You would think.
Well, I've always kind of worried about that. The one times that I've thought about getting tattoos and when I've been out on the road, I thought, well, maybe not here. This might not be a good one. I don't know their reputation.
Remember that one time we were in Wyoming and you're like, let's get a tattoo. And I almost said yes.
Yeah, it was that little middle of nowhere tattoo place at that.
I'm glad I didn't do that.
Because this is probably the places that do it. The contaminated. This is how the zombie apocalypse is going to start.
The zombie. One last story.
All right, bring it.
Have you heard of the cinnamon challenge?
No.
I had neither, so we got to stay hip.
All right. Well, hip us up, girl.
All right. It's a popular dare that is spreading across the internet. It's called the Cinnamon Challenge, fueled by social media and YouTube videos, where people record themselves struggling to swallow a full tablespoon of ground cinnamon. Crap.
How do you say that?
Cinnamon within a minute and without any water. Well, of course, it's dangerous. It can choke you.
Like
it's
kill difficult. You, choke you?
Yes. Do you remember doing those pixie straws?
Uh-huh.
And it'd get that powder or the pork skin.
Oh, the pork skin dust. We've choked on that.
Imagine doing a teaspoon of that because it's that powdery stuff. Yeah, so don't do it. If you think about doing the cinnamon challenge, just don't.
But they're doing it on YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube and other social media people. I'm sure it's on Viddy.
I'm going to have to look this up. I want to see somebody choking on cinnamon. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Just don't do it. Just say no.
Say no to cinnamon.
Say no to cinnamon.
Unless she's a stripper, and then give her a dollar.
Babe.
What?
A dollar, really?
Well, if they're...
A 20.
Well, cinnamon isn't a very creative name for a stripper in this day and age, so just give her a dollar.
Wow. So that is my news for today. Sorry it's a bit light in the lupus.
Well, I'm just glad to have you, because I know you're busy.
I know. Thanks for having me
on
here.
With all of your hospital... what? I can't think of the word right now with all your...
Volunteering?
That's the word I'm looking for. Wow, I'm tired.
Me too. Let's go to bed and all cuddle. All right.
Well, thanks for doing the news. Thanks to you guys for tuning in. And do you want to do the Oak Ridge Boys?
Of course.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. God bless America. And go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys.
Giddy up, bop, bop, mow, mow.
She just loves saying the giddy up part. Do it again.
Giddy up, bop, bop, mow, mow.
We bid you
adieu.
In the basement of the mud flap house, flapping and poo, and their underwear thing raise a noose, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remind